Hello, everybody. Welcome to podcast number 86 of the Alexis L podcast. And crikey O'Reilly, what a day. Well, what a week. What a week it's been for us. We've become influencers. the third video, the Marxist dancing videos, got 1.5 million views just on Instagram.
On Instagram alone.
So we must be up 4 or 5 million all right across the...
You want to say that, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Let's agree on that then.
Well, we haven't... Nobody's been showering us with free makeup yet, have they, or anything?
Well, would you be interested in doing that?
No.
Sponsored content?
No.
What if it was... Well, you never know.
What sponsored content could we do?
Bikes? I don't know.
There's not much. Well, we did do Himaways, didn't we?
Do you know what the Marxist attitude towards advertising is?
I can't see that it would be favourable, really. It's all part of the capitalist process, isn't it? It's all part of consumerism, really.
Yeah.
So...
We don't really want to promote any.
I don't want them.
Well, let's be, you know,
prostitute myself.
We do these things, you know. This is my career. You know, I do this to make money. I'm also doing it because it's my dream to make a podcast that has a following, to work with you.
Yeah.
We all need to pay bills and that. And when you are a content creator, that is the number one way they make money, is
with advertising.
Do advertising, yeah.
It seems unlikely. People should contribute more to the Patreon, shouldn't they, really?
That is the only kind of ethical way.
Yeah.
Because we are providing a service. We're bringing people some relaxation, some joy, entertainment.
Yeah.
People like to sit at home and have a friendly voice in their ear.
Yeah.
Listen to this. And that's an important product, isn't it? Entertainment is an important product.
They should contribute to the Patreon.
If you can afford it, of course.
If you can afford it. Because we still don't know, even though we've got 4, 5, 6 million hits for our dance video.
Yeah.
No, there's still no way to monetize that. The thieving bastards at TikTok.
The other thing to do is to... So we're using that song, Aperture, by Rosé and Bruno Marx. And
Bruno Mars.
On TikTok in particular, there are... I don't know... like creator programs where you like, they suggest to you songs to
you.
So like some record label has paid TikTok to promote a song.
Right.
And so they have a budget. And so they'll pay creators to use their songs.
Right.
From a very specific list of songs, which we'll get into the current songs in a second. But if you use that song and you get enough hits, you're basically advertising the song. So you are still advertising. But you're advertising music, which is a bit better than advertising L'Oreal or something.
Well, we see, because the other way we make money is out of the live podcast, isn't it? And where they're coming back in July, we're doing 4 Sundays at the...
Museum of Comedy.
July and August at the Museum of Comedy. Yeah, so that's a way that people can pay to keep you out of penury. Off the streets.
We're looking at Liverpool in October.
Liverpool and Shoreham.
Shoreham also in October, I believe. Yeah, that's really cool.
Make money that way.
And of course, from the very beginning, we are very graciously hosted. Our podcast is hosted by Audio Boom, but we do pay them.
Yeah.
Because we pay them because we've refused to take any advertising on the podcast.
Well, good for us. Anyway... So today you join us after we've had a terrible afternoon, really. I mean, it was awful. trying to think of a new song, a new dance routines to do for our second tranche of videos.
Yeah.
And it's been awful. It's just horrific.
Well, I arrived. It didn't start well.
I wasn't. Yeah.
I arrived drenched. I had to start. I spent half the afternoon in my pants in Lexi's living room because I cycled through a very horrific...
People might want to see that on if you get an OnlyFans account.
a rainstorm. I drove through a rainstorm to get here, rode through a rainstorm. And then what? We were trying to pick the next song.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to just do the same song again.
Yeah. And then Linda finally said, you fucking idiots, why don't you just do the same song again with different steps and different Marxist theory? So after about 4 hours of bashing our heads against the wall, that's what we've done.
Because I was playing you the top hits of the day.
And they're awful.
You were not vibing it, were you?
No, I wasn't. No, it wasn't moving me at all.
Alexi was pacing around the living room, trying to be inspired. And I was playing him the top hits.
Yeah.
And he was like moving his body around, but it wasn't, no passion.
No, no, yeah. No.
As soon as Arpita came back on.
So everything was fine. But I mean, it might not. I mean, it'd be interesting. I think the I've done different sort of dance moves. I think they're quite funny.
Yeah.
And I've tackled the Marxist theories of surplus value and alienation. So we're moving the game along. I mean, we may find that nobody's interested really. That it was a one off, and you know.
We have to wait and see. Don't we?
We have to wait and see. But I've become addicted to that fame now.
Do you want to expand on surplus value and alienation?
Well, I haven't thought beyond that about what we will do next, really.
No, I mean now, right now.
No,
do you want to talk to our listeners?
No, they listen to bloody dance. No.
Well, that's like
watch
maybe
the dance.
30 seconds of lecturing. You've not got more to say on the topic.
No, they need to look at the dance videos.
Okay, they'll be out soon.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll let the listeners know we're not doing a podcast next week. Because I'm on holiday, a much needed holiday, and I've made a firm boundary, and I said I'm not doing any work on holiday apart from I'll be editing these TikTok videos.
Yeah.
Which is already pushing it. What did Marx think about holidays?
I think he was in favour of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But have as many as you want, mate.
Thanks.
I don't know, Mark didn't really, I don't know if they thought much about the day after, really. They thought about how to achieve communism, but they found it hard to conceive of kind of what it looked like in its essence, I think. I don't know. You know, I think they thought people would be playing flutes and wearing smocks.
Has it ever been achieved what's the closest it's been to good?
Well, in a way, it's.
Some people point at South America when you want to give an example of.
Yeah, I mean, there's no. There's always been problems with the states that call themselves communist. I mean, they came out of great trauma, really, but the Soviet Union obviously lost because of the Civil War, because of the actions of the West. The Bolshevik leaders of the Soviet Union were forced to abandon a lot of the aims of communism, socialism, very quickly, really, because otherwise, you know, bring in secret police and stuff like that simply because the Soviet state wouldn't have survived without it, really. So that didn't last long.
No.
Somehow, you know, Cuba, maybe. I'm not sure. Really. I'm never sure. But... you know, it's not, as I point out in my new book when it finally comes out, it took 5,698 tries before the Dyson vacuum cleaner was perfected. And they're still pretty crap, really. So if you think it took 5,983 goes to get a vacuum cleaner right, how many goes is it going to take to get all of human society right? The people kind of say because, you know, the experiments in Russia and China and Vietnam and Cuba have failed, that therefore socialism can't work. Whereas in fact there's a, well, you're trying to change all of human behavior, all of human production, and
got to be a bit more forgiving.
Yeah, well, you know, it's, maybe it'll take 5,893 goes before we get it right, but...
And the finished product doesn't have to be called communism. Like, that's just, we use that as a shorthand, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Socialism is a wider concept, but it can go even...
Yeah, just the, you know, whatever, the anarchism, you know, a society where everybody controls their own life. As, and, you know, where nobody is richer, really, than anybody else, whereas we have this obscene situation now where these, you know, people are immensely wealthy and the gap between rich and poor is growing all the time. And that increases, that corrodes social cohesion, increases crime, and people feel more and more alienated, which is what I was talking about in the dance video. And also, of course, capitalism is a capitalism is a system of endless consumption, and that in a finite planet, that is unsustainable. You know, it's also obviously a system of dissatisfaction, that you have to feel dissatisfied with your life and think that the next product is the one thing that's going to make you feel better. But also that, you know, failures of capitalism are not failures of the Soviet system, like the famine in the Ukraine and other parts of Russia in the 1920s, are seen as indicative of failures of the system. But things that happen, like, I mean, capitalism has had two fucking world wars, for instance, in which millions and millions of people have died. That is not seen as a failure of capitalism. That's just like some shit that happened, you know?
Yeah.
But in fact, why is that not indicative of a central failing in the capitalist system that we've had these two world wars? Answer me that, Jacob Rees-Mogg.
True. Do you think billionaires should exist?
No, absolutely not.
Do you think there's such thing as a good billionaire?
I don't think you can be a good person and be a billionaire, any.
Yeah.
I think it's an absurd situation that we allow to happen. Again, it's not natural. You know, it's not a natural thing. They've rigged the game so that they can become billionaires, and then they use the power that they have accrued, the websites and newspapers and TV channels that they buy. They use that to reinforce the view. And they also, of course, use it to set people against each other. You know, all the problems of the world come from rich people. But, the newspapers and the TV channels owned by the billionaires tell you that all the problems of the world come from immigrants or, you know.
And even the petty crimes of the lower classes, the root causes of them are from the poverty and want and need and...
Yeah.
Jealousy and rivalry, and that's all.
Yeah. But
it's a product of capitalism, isn't
it? It is, man. It is.
It passed the spliff.
I call it a Camberwell carrot.
Because I rolled it in Camberwell.
And it looks like a carrot.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was having a... It's funny that you meet people who still think, some billionaires, they got there because of their own hard work. Some of them got there, you know. I'm like, why are you taking their side?
Yeah, no, they rigged the fucking game for their own.
It's an obscene amount of money. It's not realistic. Even compared, like, a millionaire is one thing, but then, and people think, people, I think, assume it's a relatively small leap to go from millionaire to billionaire. But the difference is vast. It's ridiculous. Like, the difference between someone who has nothing and a millionaire is much smaller than the difference between a millionaire and a billionaire.
Is it? Well, it shouldn't all to be allowed. Talking to billionaires, I watched Jesse Armstrong's Mountain Head last night. The Succession peep show creator, and it's actually very good. I'd seen some negative reviews, but I thought it was really
Is that a new series by Jesse?
No, it's a one-off film. It stars Steve Carell, Jason Schwartzman, and two other guys whose name I can't remember.
Uh-huh.
It's about four billionaires or three billionaires.
Are they staying in the same...
Tech bros, yeah, having a weekend together.
Oh.
And, you know, it is very good about the awfulness, the terribleness of those people and the damage that they do, really. So I would recommend it, really. It's on...
It's funny, it's like...
It's on Sky Atlantic.
People are becoming more aware. And the narrative is changing on billionaires, and similar to how the narrative is changing on Palestine.
Yes.
At what cost? Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah. Now we're starting to realize it.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, they've just gotten away with as much as they can before it all crumbles down around them when it comes to Palestine.
Mm. Yesterday, we encircled Parliament with a red line, and you had to wear red. And,
yes.
It was good, actually. It really worked, I think. It was very vivid. There's an absolute fuckbag, though, called Ian Austin, who's the trade envoy to Israel. He's a pig-faced bully, right-wing Labour. And both times I've been standing outside Parliament, the first one was, I think, reading out the names of dead children, and then yesterday doing this red line. And he walked past with this kind of simpering expression on his face both times. He's a monster. I mean, he's not the only one, but that kind of right-wing Labour, he's an absolute shite.
You were not alone. There was thousands of you at this red line thing.
Yeah.
I was meant to come, but couldn't. But I had friends who were there, and you were there, and loads of other, you know, people of note.
Mm.
And... you'd managed to circle Parliament.
Yeah.
You went across one bridge, I'm guessing Westminster Bridge.
No, really? I didn't know that.
And then
that.
It came back round another bridge, crossed over the other bridge.
I didn't know that. Blimey, that's amazing.
I went all the way around Parliament.
So I was just in the bit, obviously, outside Parliament.
Right.
Yeah, no, it really was. It was, you know, it was really something, you know.
Well, talk us through it. What happened?
Well, not really. I mean, I just went there and stood, wore a red top. And I did an interview with Middle East... They didn't know who I was. I don't know whether it's up, whether they bothered putting it up. Called Starm or something, like a spineless little shite. Now the language is changing, you know. There's other people signing these Weasley letters now, making these Weasley statements, isn't there? Like. Tom York, you know, because they don't want to be.
Did he sign the letter?
He wrote a letter. I haven't seen it, but my friend Steve said it's incredibly kind of weaselly.
It is. So Tom York, about 6 months ago, there was a video circulating of him. He was on stage in Australia, and someone in the audience was like, "Free Palestine! Say something about Palestine! Oh, yeah. You know, why won't you say something about Palestine?" And Tom York kicked off, and he was like, "This isn't the fucking place to do, you know." He goes, "Do you want me to end the show now?" And he like put his guitar down. He threatened to walk off stage. He goes, "This isn't the place to do. I'm just here to sing my songs." I'm paraphrasing, but something along those lines. Told the guy to shut up. He did his last song in a bit of a huff, and then fucked off.
Mm-hmm.
and everyone's been giving Radiohead a hard time. I think people are getting this. Including myself, like, it's quite heartbreaking because people of my generation adore Radiohead. It's a formulative band for me. I grew up, they were so influential to me. I knew all their songs back to front. I've seen them live numerous times. Their songs are very anti-imperialist, very peace-orientated, and there's a bit of angst there, but they're just masterful songwriters. And you'd just assume these guys are kind of on the right team.
Yeah.
But then there was a big moment, I think a few years ago, before October 7th or anything, where people were trying to get them to not play Israel.
Yeah.
Similar to the Nick Cave thing.
Yeah.
And they were on this whole, "No, man, like borders are like fake."
Yeah.
And like, we should... we should be able to go play Israel because, you know, there are real people there too, and we should be able to cross these boundaries and stuff. But I think Tom York has an Israeli wife. Johnny Greenwood's wife. And he has a band with an Israeli musician.
Yeah.
And they got blocked from playing in London.
Yeah.
Because people protested their gig and they had to cancel their gigs. And they tried to spin it as this kind of lefty thing. It's like, we're not supporting the regime. We're just crossing borders and crossing boundaries and building bridges. It's kind of the angle they give it. Tom York then, about a week ago, has made a statement, finally, after months of silence. Mm. And
it's 2 years of genocide.
The big criticism is that he made it about himself, really. He's like basically saying, I'm a sensitive artist. All these accusations thrown at me really hurt my feelings. You know, if you've ever listened to our music, you would know that our music is all about peace and love.
Yeah, right.
Anti-war and all that. And he both-sided it. He said, there's trouble on both sides. There are bad people on both sides. So he kind of did that. But I didn't see him that he'd signed any letter. The letter thing that I've heard of in the last week was Billy Bragg, who's been a bit of a fuckwit.
Yeah.
Ever since the Corbyn times, wasn't he?
Yeah, pompous fool.
And so there was a letter about kneecap.
Oh, yeah.
Saying an open letter by loads of artists saying you shouldn't censor them. You should. What is it? Oh, because the Mo Chara had these charges against him. Loads of artists signed a letter in support of kneecap, and Billy Bragg notably didn't. And everyone gave him grief.
Oh, right.
For not signing the letter.
Right.
And then he recently, in the last week, made a statement saying, of course I support kneecap, of course I support freedom of speech, and that's actually why I didn't sign the letter, because he had a problem with the particular wording of the letter, according to him.
Okay.
And he did use the word genocide, Billy Bragg. I don't think he quite both-sided it, but he did say, like, the wording of the letter, as an artist, he did mention, he talked about free speech and...
I'll just sign everything.
I was going to ask you, so do you not worry about...
I'll sign that, yeah. Yeah, whatever. If it comes through, you know, Juliet Stevenson or Ben Jamal, yeah, I'll sign it. Maxine Peake, yeah, whatever.
You look at the other people.
I don't read them, I just sign it.
So Billy Bragg basically said that the letter supporting kneecaps lacked nuance. Okay, he says, I'm glad to see a number of artists have signed a letter defending kneecap from attempts to remove them from various festivals in the wake of comments made at shows years ago. The band apologized for the hurt they caused the families of the murdered MPs.
I mean, the main reason they kicked off was because they said Free Palestine at Coachella, wasn't it?
That's why it all kicked off.
Yeah, there's something called the Coalition for the Creative Arts, I think, which is a pro-Israel front that has obviously got a lot of powerful music industry people in it, and that, you know, Zionists, and that's where all this trouble started. That they're clearly being punished for... Raising there.
Billy Bragg continues, however, I'm not sure I would have felt comfortable signing the letter. I wasn't asked.
Yeah, right.
My problem is that the wording lacks any sense of nuance or understanding of why this whole furore kicked off. And in trying to avoid the complexities of this issue, by claiming that the politics of an artist's views are irrelevant, the signatories are arguing that the only principle at stake here is free speech. I disagree. We need to accept that words have consequences. We must be careful to not allow considered and cogent arguments to be undermined by flippant statements that we later have to apologize for. He did say the band are being punished for the anti-Israel statements from Coachella. The people calling for NECAP to be banned are the same people who decry cancel culture whenever anyone of their political persuasion is called to account.
Yeah.
Israel is committing genocide.
Oh, well, fair enough. Ah, fucking just sign it.
Just fucking sign it.
A letter in support of the Iranian Republican Guard. Yeah, yeah, sign that. Yeah, yeah, whatever.
Fuck me. Well, who's that doctor, that British plastic surgeon who's just got back from Gaza?
Rose, I can't remember.
Rose, yeah, that's Rose, why I picked up my phone initially, and then I got distracted by this.
It's good to see. I mean, Piers Morgan is, you know, pretty terrible. It's good to see him given all these fucking, like, that absolute bastard from the UK Lawyers for Israel. You're giving air just a what for, really? Lying.
But he's still a cunt.
Yeah, he's still a cunt.
No,
yeah.
Just the other day he had that journalist on, Ahmed something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And did you see the grilling he gave him?
No, but I read about it, yeah.
He was like, how can you say that Hamas don't just want to kill all the Jews?
Yeah, yeah.
And this guy is like, so the patience he had.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Because he's there because his whole family got killed in Gaza. And he, on Twitter, when it happened, said, I blame people like Piers Morgan.
Yeah.
Bad journalism kills people.
Yeah.
And Piers Morgan had him on the show eventually. I said, I'm so sorry.
He is a very brittle.
So sorry about your family. But why did you blame me for it? He explains that very patiently. And he's just like, and the guy's just trying to explain, it's not that they're Jews, it's that they're Israelis, that they are occupiers. They could have been anyone.
Yeah.
He even quoted, and he said, I don't support Hamas, but I'm just, can't you just understand the situation a bit clearer than just saying they want to wipe Jews off the face of the earth? And Piers Morgan was adamant. What do you mean? Of course they do. Of course they want to wipe off all the Jews off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
How can you sit there and say that they don't? And he's like, Piers, I'm surprised to hear you say that.
Yeah.
What do you mean? It's obvious that they're attacking their occupiers.
Yeah.
72 years. And he said even the founder of Hamas, he quoted him and saying, if it was my own brother or father occupying my land and killing my family,
yeah,
I would want to fight them.
Yeah.
He's not about Jews. And so Piers Morgan is recently, you know, everyone's like saying, oh, at last, Piers Morgan is being a nice guy. He's not. He's still a dick.
One step forward, one step back. Yeah, true.
And it's Dr. Victoria Rose.
What? That's right.
Heroic individual. Yeah. Just putting babies back together and stuff.
Yeah.
And has come back. And she's this is her second time out in Gaza.
I can't imagine.
How do these people...
Yeah.
How do the Gazans see what they've seen and carry on living? It's so hard to...
Yeah. Yeah. It's you know, yeah, it's been 2 years now. I mean, obviously, it's every day is a struggle, really, to make sense of the world. And obviously, God knows what it's like in Gaza. Or indeed the West Bank, but it is pure evil we're facing in with Israel. It's like how to build a psychopath, isn't it? You let them this state, and then it commits all kinds of crimes, and it's never ever reprimanded. You see some of their spokespeople; they're kind of sneering, simpering, because they're like psychopathic bullies, and they've been bred like that, you know.
Mm.
It's wrong, man. We're going to have to do something about it. Come on, Jeremy, get on with the rumoured new party. When are we going to see that?
Are there rumours growing about
that? There are rumours growing that there is going to be a new party, yeah, which will at least be the five independent MPs and independent councillors, but hopefully some...
Some will leave their party.
Some will leave Labour. You know, that some of those who are suspended may leave the Labour Party. And, you know, when the local elections come round, Labour will lose a lot of seats, hopefully to pro-Gaza independents. But also when the, you know, the general election in 2028 or 29. Hopefully, the new party will fill that huge vacuum left on, you know, that the Labour Party has vacated on the left. But I could do with having, you know, something to look forward to, really.
Yeah, Michael asks in the chat, on the Patreon chat, the Labour Party, is there any hope it could still become a vehicle for socialism?
No. I can't. I mean, it never was, really. I mean, you know, I've quoted Lenin. But, I mean, Lenin said, you know, it was the, although it's supposedly the party of the workers, it's run by the bourgeoisie, and the worst bourgeoisie at that, and they are, they're just the worst people in the world, the right wing and the Labour Party, exemplified by people like Tom Watson and Ian Austin and John Mann and those, all them shitbags. And, you know, I think it's set, the role of the Labour Party has always been to take the socialistic impulses of the British working class and dissipate those efforts in endless submitting motions to Congress that will never be passed. It's Labour Party is absolutely a waste of time. And I think, I mean, John McDonald's written about, you know, we need to take the Labour Party back. You can't take it back. It's ridiculous, ludicrous complacency, I think, too. I think, you know, you need a new party, which will be extremely successful. The Labour Party will never, ever do. The permanent staff and the MPs are bought and paid for by the Zionist lobby or the Israel lobby or, you know,
yeah,
the majority of them.
It all comes down to Israel, doesn't it? When Palestine's free, we'll be fucking free.
Yes, well, it does seem to, you know.
All right, Stephen in the chat. Do you want another question from the from the patrons?
This is a very...
Don't worry about what it free, is.
Yeah.
You're about to comment on the quality of the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm having fun here. We're both lounging here, passing a spliff back and forth. Not really. Okay, Stephen asks, and I asked you about this the other day, comic strip has showed up on Netflix.
Yeah.
Including Strike, starring you.
Yes.
Do you know anything about that? Where has that come from? Why is that there? Know. Are they going to put any more up there?
I don't know. I need to ask Peter about it, really, because he owns all the rights. I don't know. I haven't talked to him.
Peter who?
Peter Richardson.
Yeah.
I don't know how that deal has been done. I mean, I was chatting. I mean, he Strike is very, very good, and I'm very good in it because I underplay for once. Peter's very, very keen on Red Nose of Courage, which was initially only broadcast once on election day in 1992, which is about, I play John Major's dad. It's about John Major being a circus clown.
Right.
And Peter loves that one. And yeah, so.
Are you seeing any profits from this?
I have not up to now seen any residuals. Maybe I will further down the line.
Okay, Stephen was wondering that. And he's also asking, didn't you kill my brother on 4OD as well?
Is it?
Yeah, apparently.
Fuck. Well.
So you haven't even heard that?
No.
No. You need to talk to your agent.
I do, yeah.
Can I take this moment to thank our patrons?
Please, yes.
If you want to support, thank you, patrons. You want to thank them as well? Would you?
Thank you very much, yes.
We normally release on our Patreon a full video episode of our podcasts, normally with less editing and normally a day early. Today being an exception, we are not filming this one because I'm literally just sat in. It's quite impromptu. I've just dried off. Alexi's just finished his dancing and we've sat down and started recording with our clip-on mics. So no video this week, but thank you. If you want to support the show and support our careers and keep the machine clogging along, head to patreon.com/AlexiSalePodcast. contribute what you can. Patreon.com/AlexisL podcast. Alexi, I was mulling over a question I wanted to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
If you were on the crossroads and the devil came up to you and offered you in exchange for your soul to make you a master at any skill you wanted, what would you
well, I wouldn't tell myself, really, because I think it's probably a bad idea. What I've seen, I think it's, if anybody, I would like kids, particularly young people, but older people too, if the devil, if you are down at the crossroads, like Robert Johnson, and the devil does offer to buy your soul, don't accept that offer. Like Keir Starmer clearly sold his soul.
Is there nothing that would tempt you, though? Is there nothing you want bad enough?
The things I'd like to be able to sing properly. I would like to be able to do high kicks. I was walking to the supermarket the other day, and there's a black guy just doing, messing around with his mates, and he just very gently landed two kind of kicks to his back of his friend's head. And I so envied that. I can't, my legs, you know, really don't go above my knee. You know, I can't.
Really?
No, I'd like to do high kind of kung fu kicks. Really.
I've shown you my kicks, haven't
forward
I?
To. You're good at them, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're really good, yeah. So I'd like to be able to, I'd like to actually stand on one leg without falling over. It would be. It's not modest stuff, really. Do you think if you, the devil, offered to buy your soul and you asked for something really modest, like the ability to just stand on one leg, you know, rather than all the riches of the world, you just asked for the ability to stand on one leg confidently, that the devil then wouldn't take terrible revenge, that you wouldn't go to hell, you might just go to.
Maybe he would.
Amazing stuff.
He'd recognize that it wasn't a good enough.
Yeah.
It wasn't worth say, your soul.
Yeah.
I'll say, all right, I'll take.
You can stand on one leg, but I'll just.
I'll turn one of your eyes green.
Yeah. Or just give us a tenner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're negotiating with the devil.
Yeah. You can just stand up. If you just ask for something. Give modest. Us a, and he'd be impressed, wouldn't he, the devil?
Yeah.
He'd go, wow, you're like, you know, most people ask for, you know.
I guess that's what he's doing.
World domination.
Isn't he? Yeah.
Or the ability to play guitar.
He's trying to prove a point to God that men are fallible and they're greedy.
Yeah. If you just said,
Yeah, the devil would be. He'd be annoyed.
If you offered to sell yourself for like a really good meatball sub. And he'd be like, yeah, fair play to you, son. I won't take you so, but I'll give you that meatball sub.
Just give us a tenner. That's
fine. Just give us a tenner. There you go. There you are. Ability to stand on one leg. No caveats. No, like, you know, no tricks or anything.
What is the most you'd pay?
To stand on one
leg. Yeah.
There was a time when I would have given anything, really. I would have given my entire fortune to have a full head of hair when I first started to go bald, because it was very traumatic. That now I don't care, obviously. But you asking me what the most I would give if the devil would give me an ability rather than selling my soul.
Would you pay a grand to be able to stand on one leg for the rest of your life?
Yeah,
you would.
Stand confidently on one leg. No, I wouldn't want to, you know, it would be one of them tricky ones where then I could only stand on one leg and I have to hop it. You have to watch that out.
The monkey's paw.
Gins, yeah. They can trick you. But if just confidently stand on one leg, do golden cockerel stands on one leg and do it elegantly.
All right, speaking of gin, you got a genie, three wishes. Any three wishes?
Oh, I don't know, really. Well, the ability to stand on one leg. Yep. Do high kicks. Could that be like all leg-related stuff? Might be just one.
Free Palestine.
Well, Free Palestine, yeah. I mean, you know. Terrible illness for Keir Starmer.
Oof.
Yeah, but I might be back.
So don't let
you
them
think. Yeah.
Don't let them make you bad.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Don't let them make you a villain.
No, the genie would, yeah.
To keep it positive, man.
Yeah. Free Palestine. What would that do to him?
This is what it does to us. He had another crackpot in Colorado, didn't he? He started throwing Molotov cocktails at elderly people.
Yeah, driven mad.
Driven mad by the genocide.
Yeah.
But that's the power of that evil, is it corrupts.
Yeah.
It makes people fucking hell. It's driving us crazy, man.
Yeah. So leg flexibility would be one. Free Palestine would be two, and that'd probably do me, really.
That's a good one. You save the third one. For when you really need it.
Yeah.
If you're ever like, you know, your car's flying off a cliff, you quickly get the genie out. So,
okay.
You know, you save that third one for a time you really need it.
Yeah.
But you'd also want to do a big one, like Free Palestine.
Yeah, I want.
And then you do the leg thing, and then you want to give it a minute to see how that changes the playing field. Once there might be a new wish that you didn't even realize you needed. Yeah. Once Palestine's free.
Yeah.
Regrow all the olive trees out there. Make me the king of Palestine. Free Palestine, make me the king.
That would be an effort, wouldn't it? Oh, I'm not doing that job.
Oh, man. I really wish this is all over soon.
I know, it is unbearable, right?
Solidarity to everyone at home who's struggling as well. It's mad. I'm going to south of France. Lucky me. But I was wondering if you had any stories or memories of the Côte d'Azur, the French Riviera. Did you ever do Cannes Film Festival?
No. I've been to MIP. Well, I've never been to Cannes.
MIP.
MIP is the sort of telly version of Cannes. Film festival.
Where is that?
In Cannes. But
it's another festival.
It's another festival, yeah.
I thought it was a town called MIP.
No.
That doesn't sound real.
No.
You got loads of Spain stories and regional UK ones, but nothing in France?
No. Well, let me have a think and we'll... Next time. Well, there's all the stories about making the bride in Carcassonne.
That's right.
Well, I'm not doing all that now.
No, not do that again. Anything exciting coming up for you, Alexi?
See how this new video does, really. and the live podcasts. And then I've got to finish this sodden book I'm writing, really. That's basically it. I need to. Need to find some more work.
Does the podcast get a mention in your book?
No.
Oh.
No, it doesn't. No, but, you know, we'll stick it on the end. Stick it on there. On the back page.
All right, you're getting tired. Shall we?
I'm tired.
We could wrap this up.
Yes.
I better get home and edit this because I don't want to be editing this
on my
holly bobs.
No. All right, then. Well, I hope this is, you know, it's people treat podcasts, don't they? It's just having another friend, really, human interaction. But this is like having a really boring, two really boring friends, I think.
I disagree. Anyway, I think the top end was strong. We started off.
Yeah.
No, it's self-deprecating bullshit. I love you, listeners. Thank you for listening and
thank you for all the support
and being there with us all this time.
Yeah. How long's it been now? How many years has it been?
Well, many it would years. Be.
It was after lockdown, wasn't it? It wasn't during lockdown. Didn't do this.
Yeah, well, like
21 or something.
I think it was November 2020, though.
Was it? Oh, my God.
Because it was the year Dad died, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Let's look at this. Thanks to Esther Manito for last week. Oh, yes. She was great.
She was great.
Old friend of mine. It's so
nice. Yeah, so with the nice. And the dance videos are now up to 12 million views across all platforms.
Yeah, by the end of this recording.
But yeah, so I'll just retire on that. On that booty.
Yeah, it was November 2020 that we started good this. Good God. And we're in 2025.
Must have been lockdown, because of course the bike rides were during lockdown, weren't they? Mm-hmm. A big deal.
That was second lockdown. We did the lockdown bike rides. Right. Yeah. Because these first few episodes, I would come around here and sit in your conservatoire.
Mm.
And you had these little scripted episodes.
Mm, yeah, that was crap.
And then we got Rennick and Marshall in for the third episode. And that's when we started getting a bit more fast and loose with it.
Thank God we've got those 40 million viewers on TikTok, I say. Nobody's going to be fucking listening to this.
Shut up.
All right, everybody. Bye-bye. You've been listening to the Alexisel podcast. This show is produced and edited by Talal Karkouti. Music by Tarbush Records. Thanks to Audio Boom for hosting us. Please keep your emails coming in at alexiselpodcast@gmail.com. Goodbye.